For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, Adam's Transgression, as we pick up in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
As by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now, let me point out that the word have is not in the Greek text. What the Greek text reads is, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed unto all men, for that all sinned. We all sinned in Adam. He acted as a federal head. He acted for all of us. And by his sin, death entered the world. By his sin, we were all made sinners. God said to Adam, the day that thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. Talking about spiritual death, which Adam experienced when he ate of the forbidden fruit. His spirit died. And Adam could not pass on through his genes something that he did not possess, spiritual life. Through the genes, all he could pass on was a physical body with the capacity of a consciousness. But being dead spiritually, he could not, by procreation, pass on spiritual life. So one man, sin, death entered the world. And death passed unto all men. Paul the Apostle, in the epistle to the Ephesians chapter 2, in describing our past lives, said, and you hath he made alive spiritually, who were dead because of your trespasses and sins, who in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that even now is working in the children of disobedience, among whom you all once had your manner of living. And you were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's by nature. Because by one man, sin, death entered the world, and death passed unto all men, for all sin. Therefore, I sin because I'm a sinner. Sinning does not make me a sinner. It only proves that I'm a sinner. You say, well, what about the little children who die? God takes care of them. They're safe. Oh, that precious, innocent little baby. Are you sure? Look at the way they're making their fleshly demands. Listen to them wail. Look at them kick and flail around. If they were big enough and strong enough, they'd rip that crib apart. How many of you had to be taught how to tell a lie? What is it necessary to teach? It's necessary to teach your children to be honest. They seem to learn to lie very naturally. And so we have to teach the positive values. For a child left to himself will bring a reproach to his parents, according to the scriptures. For we by nature were the children of wrath. Now, until the law was given, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Sin was there, but it wasn't imputed because there was no law. Now, Adam had one law, he broke it. Oh, he had a few more positive. There was one negative, and he broke it. If there is no law that says that the speed limit is 55 miles an hour, then you can't be ticketed for going over 55. But it's because there is a law that says that that is the limit. You can be ticketed for going over that limit. But it used to be in some areas that they did not have speed laws. And thus, you could not be ticketed for speeding because there was no speed law. Most generally, then, they would ticket you for reckless driving if you were driving beyond a speed limit that was safe. But where there is no law, you cannot be arrested for violating the law because there is no law that pertains to that. So until the law was given, their sin was in the world, but it wasn't imputed or accounted to man. Nevertheless, even from Adam to Moses, death reigned. The consequence of sin was still there, and men died. Even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who was a figure of him who was to come, even Jesus. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And this is the important teaching of one man's righteousness making many righteous. How is it that God can account me righteous? Because Jesus is righteous, and his righteousness is imputed to me by my faith in him. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one unto condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. And so by one man sin entered the world, death by sin, death passed unto all men for all sin. Even so, by one man's righteousness are many made righteous who believe in him who are justified by faith, and many come into eternal life through the one. The one man brought death. The first Adam brought death, and Jesus Christ brought life. Adam brought sin, Jesus brought righteousness. And thus, Jesus acts as a federal head, as Adam acted as the federal head for humanity. So now Jesus acts as the federal head for all of those who believe in him, and you are made a new creation. The old things are passed away and everything becomes new. You can't say, well, that's just my Irish temper, because I have a new nature, the nature of Jesus Christ. I've been born again by the Spirit of God, a new creature, a new nature, and I relate now to Jesus Christ as the origin of my life. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So the law came along in order that we might see how far we did miss the mark. And the word sin means missing the mark. But if you don't see the mark, how can you miss it, you know? How can you know how far you missed it? You may be shooting wildly, but I can't convince you of that until I put up the mark. And then as your arrows go flying all over everywhere, I say, oh man, you've really missed the mark. And so the law came along that we might see how far we missed the divine ideal, how far we came from living a life that was acceptable and pleasing to God. The law once and forever put down the thought of self-righteousness, if properly understood. So the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did overflow. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so grace might reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. As you go back and meditate on chapter 5, underline the much mores and meditate upon the contrast that he draws. Another thing to mark in chapter 5 is the many references to Jesus Christ our Lord, or through Jesus Christ our Lord, or by Jesus. That which we have through him, that which we have by him. And these are things that you want to note there in chapter 5. What shall we say then? If where sin abounds, grace does much more abound, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? You know, let's let God reveal how much grace there is by continuing in sin. And Paul's answer is his typical, God forbid. And now he gives to you the new principle of life. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? I have received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. In receiving Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I have done that. And the result is that I am born again. I am now a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ. If I am born again, then where is the old Chuck? He's dead. That old fellow who used to live after his flesh, he's dead. I now have a new life, a spiritual life, that life from Christ. Therefore, to say, well, let's go ahead and just live in sin that grace may abound is folly. Because I am dead to sin. That old life is dead. So, know ye not that so many of you as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Don't you realize that that water represented the grave? Don't you realize that as you were put in the water, it was the burial of the old life? You were buried with Christ in the water of baptism. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. It's a whole new life, that new life after the Spirit. And of course, that's the whole thing. The old life after Adam is a life after the flesh. It is a life where the body is dominant and the consciousness is occupied by the body needs. It is life on the animal plane, body and soul. The body supreme, the mind subjected and filled with the consciousness of the body needs. Now, when you are born again, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. When you are born again by the Spirit of God, the new life that you now have is spirit, soul, and body. So now the spirit is the dominant feature, and the new life is a spiritual life. The old life was a fleshly life. The new life is a spiritual life. A spirit in union with God's Spirit. So a spirit in union with God's Spirit, my thoughts, my consciousness now is upon God and the things of God and how I might please him by walking in the Spirit. And these are the things that dominate my conscious state. God's love for me, God's grace for me, God's goodness to me. These things dominate my conscious state. no longer dominated by my fleshly desires or fleshly needs. That's what baptism was all about. Buried with Christ, but yet raised in that newness of life in Him. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death through baptism, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection as I come up out of the water. It's like being resurrected, like Jesus resurrecting, coming out of the grave. That new resurrected life of Christ. Knowing this, that our old man was, not is, was, it's past tense in Greek, was crucified with Him that the body of sin might be destroyed or put out of business, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So this body of sin was put out of business. It can no longer dominate my life. It can no longer rule over my consciousness. Because that old man was crucified with Christ. As Christians, our biggest problem is with our flesh. For our flesh is still seeking to make its demands upon us. Our flesh would still bring us under its control and power. And as a Christian, there is a warfare that is going on in me. For the flesh is warring against my spirit, and my spirit is warring against my flesh, and these two are contrary to each other. And there is this battle going in for the control of my mind, the control of my life. My flesh still wants to sit on the throne of my life, and the spirit wants to sit on the throne of my life. And there's a battle raging actually over the control of my life itself, the flesh and the spirit. And I don't always do the things that I would. As we sang this morning, then I shall be what I would be, then I shall be what I should be. Things that are not now nor could be soon shall be our own. The battle will be over one of these days when my spirit leaves this old body of flesh. I'm still living in the body. That's my big problem. If I weren't living in this body any longer, then I'd have no problems. But I'm still living in the body. And as long as I'm living in this body, it's going to struggle for supremacy. And thus, I must keep my body under. You remember Paul the Apostle said, I beat myself to keep my body under. It's a struggle. It's a fight. My body wants control again. It wants to sit on the throne. I have to keep my body under. And the way to do that is to reckon that old self to be dead. It's a reckoning process. Lord, that is a part of the old life dominated by my flesh. I reckon that to be dead. That flare-up, Lord, that belongs to the old life. That bitterness, that belongs to the old life. That anger, that belongs to the old life. That's dead. Thank God that's dead. I don't have to live under that domination anymore. That was crucified with Christ, and I am now living a new life in the resurrected Lord. So the old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be put out of business, that I shouldn't serve sin any longer. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more, death has no more dominion over Him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he lives unto God. So I'm now in the risen Christ. I'm living in Christ. I have that life in Christ. And sin no longer can reign as king in my mortal body. For Christ now reigns. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Account that to be. How many times I must account that to be in my own life? When the old flesh rears its ugly head, and I do that which is not pleasing, and the Spirit of God calls my attention to it, and I feel so shamed that I would have said that, that I would have done that, I cry out unto God, and I say, Lord, I reckon that to be dead, a part of the old life. Thank God I don't have to live under its rule any longer. Help me, Lord. So reckon ye also yourselves to be dead. Now, reckoning is a word of faith. You see, if my old flesh were dead, I wouldn't have to reckon it to be dead. If it were actually dead. One day it will be. I'm not going to have to reckon it anymore after that. But my old flesh is still very much alive. Too much alive. I'm painfully, keenly aware of that. And so I have to take the position of faith, a position of reckoning. I reckon that to be dead.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Romans on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of The Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning Romans 5 through 6. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you. Fill your heart with love. Fill your heart with praise. Fill your heart with God's Spirit, that He might work in you, bringing you into the image of Christ, helping you to be what God wants you to be, a true representation of Him before this poor, sad, sin-cursed world. In Jesus' name.
The Word for Today is excited to present the book Colossians by Kay Smith. Like the believers in Paul's day, we are living in the midst of culture craziness, and we too are vulnerable to the quick-fix solutions of philosophers, Eastern mystics, and religious legalists. Through this powerful study of Colossians, Kay Smith helps you to discover the truth that Christ is supreme, the one who holds all things together. You are complete in Him. No need to look anywhere else for fulfillment. And the wisdom to guard yourself against deception that can lead us away from the freedom found in Christ. Let God's Word refresh, renew, and strengthen your faith. You can order your copy of this book at twft.com or by calling 1-800-272-9673. I'm your host, Kathy Parrish. Thanks for listening.
Little country church on the edge of
this program. program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.